Okay, have we any apologies? Yes, Councillor Anna. Councillor Anna's, Councillor Stokes. Any more? That's it? Okay.
Oh, sorry,
Councillor Sharvin as well. Okay, as we're all aware, tonight is the meeting following on from the review that has been taking place within planning. So, without further ado, I'm going to pass over to Liam to set the scene for tonight's meeting, and then Jim will then come in and go through his presentation.
Chairman, thank you very much. Members will be aware that just before Christmas we agreed the appointment of Jim McKimmon to come in and do a piece of work along with the planning task force which was set up, which included the chairs and vice chairs of all the committees of council, including the chair and vice chair. So on the back of that there, we brought Jim in. Jim spent a week at the end of January where he did a number of meetings with staff, he did meetings with councillors. Meetings with some MPs and MLAs, unfortunately it clashed with the budget at that point in time, but we're doing another meeting for MPs and MLAs tomorrow morning before Jim goes back. And we did a number of meetings with the agents and with councillors. So basically Jim has completed his work, and tonight is going to bring forward his findings and some of his recommendations. Following on that there, we have prepared a paper for council to approve, and at the end of the questions and answers session, I'd maybe pick up in terms of the recommendations based on the discussion that goes forward, Chairman. Okay, raise your hand, we'll deliver them out, okay.
Chair, that's slightly different. The agenda, it's different than the one was 4 days ago.
Just give a minute or so to get them out, and then we'll pass over to Jim. We'll move over to Jim then.
Thanks very much indeed, Councillor Rowan. First of all, can I say I was really flattered to be asked to undertake this work. And secondly, I've been seriously impressed with the way that the Council has grasped the seriousness of the situation with the Planning Service in Newry, Mourne and Down, and the energy which has been brought to actually addressing some of the issues. And I think the fact that you're having this meeting within, I think, about 3 weeks of me being here is testament to that. I'm just going to quickly provide you with some facts and figures, some of the key issues, and a way forward. Now, you don't have to accept that. You've got a report from Canis on how you might want to take this forward, but I think it's for you as a council to decide what things you want to go with, and it could be a phased programme rather than everything just happening at the same time. This is what you inherited from the DOE, over 1,100 applications, almost 20% older than 12 months. At the end of March, there were 17 planners, or 24 in what was to become Newry, Mourne and Down, but because of the staff transfer, you ended up with half the number of planners, although you had the largest number of applications of any council in Northern Ireland, and the staff transfer arrangements were clearly inequitable. They didn't take account of that. They were actually divided equally between the 11 councils, and then you had very significant IT problems, particularly with the EPIC system. So basically what you were given was a bit of a hospital pass. The number of applications between April, live applications, April and January this year, increased by over a third. The number of applications over 12 months increased by almost two-thirds. This is the volume of applications going through the briefing panel and the planning committee. So only 6% of all applications have gone to the planning committee, which is a relatively small number. Getting up-to-date information has not been that easy, but these are the figures produced across Northern Ireland, which show that on average, what you should be doing is applications, average time for deciding local applications, 15 weeks. What you can see there is that the average actually in Northern Ireland has been 19 weeks for the first quarter, management quarter of 2015, and Newry and Mourne way out ahead at 27.8, so almost double the length of time that's taken by most by the target. Why? Clearly, insufficient number of staff transferred. There have been recruitment difficulties, and there is this imbalance in workload between Newry and Downpatrick. So you've got half the planners in Newry, half in Downpatrick, but the workload's two-thirds Newry, one-third of Downpatrick. IT, the EPIC system, in my view, is a bit of a disaster area. It's not conducive to efficient handling of planning applications, and I can give you examples of that. And also, there were specific problems with the transfer, which meant that basically nothing could be done for the first 4 to 6 weeks following the transfer of power. And I think there are problems with the infrastructure, IT infrastructure, and in Newry and Mourne. So I think it's pretty clear that the pace of decision-making is pretty glacial. I don't think I have to go into that in much more detail. The performance targets you have here are very generous and they're not being met. And one of the other problems, of course, is who knows when a decision will be issued. And I know that's a source of great frustration to members. In Scotland, you can have this argument about speed, and people, planners, will say, well, actually, decisions take longer because we're trying to get better quality outputs. That is not something that was run with me in when I met the staff. And also, community environmental groups in mainland would be saying, we don't get enough opportunities to comment and our views are ignored. What no one actually from the community environmental groups I met raised that, what they were concerned about was delay. Why am I showing a picture of nuns? Well, this is really about this lack of accessibility of the planners. And someone described the planners as being a bit like Carmelite nuns. They're not, you know, you know they're there, but you can't actually see them. And I think there have been difficulties, which you'll be familiar with in terms of not responding to emails, not responding to telephone calls, and that's a great source of frustration to you and your constituents. And I think I can understand why this has arisen, but it is clearly a problem that's demonstrably there. And the final thing is really about this unwillingness to work to find solutions. Although 90% of applications in this area are approved, the widespread perception is that the default position of the planning service is no, and they're not really seen as a group of people who want to facilitate and enable development. I had a very good example of from a community group about a proposed car park in the Mourns. The planners apparently said no because it was within the area of outstanding natural beauty, and so the car park wasn't provided. Cars are on the road, unsightly and dangerous, and I think that's a pretty good example. What do you want to do about it? You've got to reduce the backlog. You've got so many applications. And I know that some progress has been made by Antonini's team in identifying applications which raise no issues of policy, no issues of political sensitivity. Can we just get them out the door, please? I would also recommend that you share the workload with other sections of the planning department, like enforcement and development planning, for a limited period of time to get these decisions out. And shorter reports. You do not need to write 2 or 3 pages on a BT cabinet. Really, a couple of lines will do. But there's going to be a rump of more difficult applications which have to be identified. And I have talked about contracting these out to some form of consultancy. Now, I'm not in favour of contracting out public services. I just don't believe it. But you need to take drastic action to get these decisions out the door. It has to be project managed. And I would also include appeals. I think you've got about 60 appeals outstanding in this council. But if you're getting more applications coming through, the more complex ones are more likely to go committee, therefore you need more committee meetings. And there seems to be some confusion over priorities, so these should be identified, agreed and communicated to staff and agents. I'm not going to go through all these points, but I'm going to pick out a couple of things. The first is on consultation. There's a tendency to consult more widely than is necessary, a tendency to kind of not be firm in terms of deadlines and what consultees say. And we've got some examples where consultees were asking for information or conditions to be attached, which are actually not to do with planning, but were more to do with their own agenda. I'll say more about reports when I come to committee things. Excessive use of conditions. There's like a virility symbol with planners. If I can use more conditions, I'm doing a better job than you. Yet what is absolutely clear is these conditions are not proactively monitored or enforced. Enforcement in this area, as in many parts of the UK, is actually reactive or retrospective. Ludicrous things about informatives, completely unnecessary. I saw 17 on a reserved matters application. Problems of defining decision notices. These need to be signed much more quickly, and these need to be delegated to a much lower level than is currently the place. And I think there's also issues about staffing, about the balance of workload I mentioned between Newry and Downpatrick, maybe having some sort of specialist people, for example, on wind turbines, to get some sort of expertise who can move these through the system quickly, and productivity. I think there are issues with productivity of some of the staff, which they accept and acknowledge, and these have to be dealt with. EPIC system is not conducive to business change, and you will have to work around that. So, for example, in relation to report writing, you may not follow the EPIC system. What you might do is produce a Word document and then import it. A lot of the problems people think relate to the fact that this is DOE and a central government department, and clearly the transfer of planning powers to a local, to local authority, it's certainly one that I am really enthusiastic about. But there is this feeling that there's still the culture of a central government department, and I know quite a lot about it, having been a critical friend to the planning service in Northern Ireland, having acted as director of planning in Belfast for 8 weeks, and just general discussions with senior people across the province. And there is this kind of quite strong feeling that there's a lack of customer focus, and that this kind of approach becomes institutionalised, and it's far from what you're looking for in Newry and Mourne. So, issues you need to address, very risk-averse, afraid of making mistakes. And someone told me about an email from a senior civil servant advising someone who'd made a mistake that if they made it again, they would be dismissed. That seems to me completely excessive, disproportionate, and creates the long climate in which staff can operate. Too focused on policy as opposed to other considerations. And there's a feeling that the planning planners didn't understand the impact of delays. You've got £500,000 sitting in a suspense account now. You can only access once the decisions are reached. So that's very, very important, I think. And then understanding the impact of delay on jobs, on people wanting to build a home, improve their home, that needs to be important. So be much more aware of the challenges facing people and the urgency that some is required. And certainly the community environmental groups made quite a strong case about planners not understanding that they had programmes to implement and that they were dependent on planning permission being granted. Now, sometimes these agencies did not actually necessarily engage with the planning system early enough, but clearly that was the perception. There are tensions within the planning department between planning, the planners and admin support, which are going to have to be resolved. But lest you think this is all about the planners, there are also issues for the agents. And I know that, Billy, you were very, very strong on this the last time we met. And clearly there has to be a big improvement in the quality of submissions and the propensity to submit endless changes and variations. Councillor involvement, there's going to be a debate around a delegation, which I think Anthony's looking at changes to introduce. The briefing panel I would prefer to see done away with. The planning committee itself, I thought the quality of reports which you got were actually quite poor. I thought they contained a lot of superfluous information like neighbours notified, maps that were unreadable, lists of drawings with no idea of what they were. So I thought they were quite poor. I talked and I've shown other councillors about how you present applications better, something I introduced in Belfast. Rather than focusing on the word, give councillors more of a visual appreciation of what they're talking about. 6 slides for every application. This is the application. This is where it is. This is what the site looks like. This is what's proposed. These are the issues. Here's the recommendation. And you could see that at the last planning committee, where there was a discussion on visibility displays, that putting up a slide showing the problem was much better than anyone talking about the problems of visibility displays. I think there are a couple of applications I've seen deferred, and maybe having better visual communication might reduce the likelihood of that. Newry and Mourne is also the only council that doesn't have speaking rights. And I think you should think about introducing that, I think, in the interest of transparency, but also I think it might help reduce the incident of late and amended submissions. Now, I understand that's a big issue for you. I would certainly time limit it. I think you have to work through how this might look, but I do believe you should be moving in that direction. I think there's an issue about capacity building, and the councillor spoke to me about how aware of kind of training issues and all that, but, you know, getting planning power seemed some way away, but now you're with you and you kind of want to kind of go through that. I think there's opportunities in relation to the preparation of the local development plan, which has to be your plan. It's not the official's plan, it's your plan as a council. And I'm astonished to find that 10 months after the handover, you have no programme in place for the preparation of the local development plan. You will not see that plan until 2019-20. That is a long way away. The scope, I think, for non-statutory policies, which I'll talk about in a minute, and I think we have to engage much more effectively with agents on current and emerging issues. You know, and I think you're beginning to recognise, and I think it's appreciated, that there is a problem here that you as a council are determined to address. And don't just make it DOE, just don't make it NMD, make it DOE Planning Appeals Commission as well. But what I'd also like to be sure is a two-way involvement, not just what you as a council can do better, but what the agents can do better. And I think there's quite a strong case for what I would call tough love. These are two local development plans. I think one of them expired last year and one's a wee bit older, but they're not your plans. They are DOE plans, and I think that is an issue, and probably one of the most contentious issues is really around housing in the countryside, where your constituents and the tradition here is being able to build a house on land that you own. There's loads of small farms. Planning orthodoxy is, well, actually you shouldn't allow that, and so there is an emerging tension. So I believe that planners need to work with you to actually get a clear understanding of what your policy is on housing in the countryside and apply it consistently. There's no point in having recommendations regularly overturned in that, because it begins to sound like a complete free-for-all. So, and one of the particular issues I think came up at the last committee was around agricultural justification. So I'm not against housing in the countryside, but it has to be well sited and designed. And I've seen what's happened in places like Donegal and how it just seems to me to be ruining the character of the area. So I think there's a strong case for good guidance on siting and design. And far too often what happens is reports are produced, and that's been the objective. You've got to get the guidance up to date, and you've got to communicate and demonstrate to applicants and agents you will work with it. And I think that might mean early refusals if schemes are just not up to scratch. Much better than going on and on and on. There are kind of issues around all this kind of more techie stuff. The one thing I would highlight to you is that you're going to have to take decisions on a future IT system. Belfast have already engaged in that. They are not fans of EPIC. I don't think anyone from the planning service across Northern Ireland is keen on EPIC, but you need an IT system. You could have son or daughter of EPIC, which is up to you, or you could have a more bespoke system or work with other councils. The thing I would advise you on, do not sleepwalk into a system that will completely ossify some of your current antediluvian practices here. So there's other issues around accommodation cameras, but, you know, they're not really big issues. So my conclusions, you have aspirations as a council to be a high-performing planning authority, and I congratulate you on the fact that you're recognising this is an issue and your determination to actually deal with it. I'm aware of recent press coverage, which is damaging to you as a council, damaging to the morale of the planning services. That's not where you want to be. I don't think anyone disagrees on the problems and challenges. There are urgent measures to require before you can actually move on to become a normal planning authority. Lots of improvements to the process. And culture change, it's not something that's done to you. It's something that we all have responsibility for. Planners, agents, consultees, councillors, all to get this kind of moving in the right direction. And what you have before you from Canis is an action plan which picks up on some of these things. Now, they may not agree with everything that's in my report, but what you've got is actually a way forward for this. And, you know, you can talk about this till the cows come home, but I'm a great believer in, you know, just do it, or as Father Ted would say, just feckin' do it, just get on with it. You know, and you've got some good stories to tell now. I think in the last week there was 50 applications issued, and I think in this week there's going to be 70 issued. So you've got that kind of quite negative press coverage. I think now is the time to go on the offensive, because I think you're demonstrating, and it's recognised that you are addressing the problems and are very serious about putting in place a planning authority which you and the citizens of Newry, Mourne and Down can be proud of.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. We're at this stage going to open it up to the floor for any comments that councillors would like to make. Could I ask that keep it as brief as possible, because Jim has went through an awful lot there in a short space of time, so I want the same from the elected members. Councillor Tenley, you're first up.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Jim, you're very welcome back again, and so soon after your last visit. Chair, I suppose I think it's worth noting that the planning system has come in for quite a bit of flack, certainly over the past 4 to 5 months, and I just want to put it on record. I want to commend Liam and Canis and Anthony for recognising that there were issues that had to be dealt with, and they went about addressing those concerns that councillors were bringing forward to them. And I suppose they had the humility to accept that we didn't yet possibly get it right, and indeed the foresight to recognise that the status quo chair was unacceptable, and that we as a body were willing to listen to the views of the public, primarily agents and applicants. So, say I want to thank Jim for such a quick turnaround, Chair, on his report. His recommendations are very detailed, which obviously indicates a very thorough review has taken place, Chair, and no doubt the councillors will give due consideration to Jim's recommendations. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Councillors in the back row, or some of you are going to have to bear with us because there's about 4 red lights showing up at one time. I'm not too sure why these are attracting red lights, but I'll go with Willie next because that's who I've seen. Councillor Clark.
Thanks, the Chair, and I concur with the remarks of Jarlath. Thanks very much to Jim also for his report. And I think it's a clear set of recommendations, and it's a view, it's a fresh view, a new set of eyes looking in on our planning system. And as Jarlath said, fair play to the council and the senior officers, you know, for holding hands up and saying, listen, this is not working. We need to do something strategically different. So it does deserve credit. And the staff in the planning office deserve credit as well, because they've been under, you know, undue pressure. A lot of pressure built up, a lot of extra workloads. And a lot of that was down to the department, you know, and when they transferred the staff, that they divvied them out equally among the 11 councils. And that was a recipe for disaster, because we have, at the moment, we have 500 more applications than any other council, you know. And so it shouldn't have been developed like that. In regards to, I'll keep it short, Chair, in regards to agents' responses, a better relationship with agents, I think that's very useful and you know, concurrent sort of engagements with the agents and architects and planning officers can only be good for the system, you know, and building up better relationships as well moving forward. Consultees also, there's an onus on consultees' response times, that it is a new show in town, and I think it's important to get that message out. And responses have to be coming back very promptly, and for departments not just to be sitting on responses. And the new development plan, and you're right, it's not our development plan. We have seen that, particularly in looking at businesses and business location, particularly in rural areas. It's not fit for purpose. So it is important that we get our own development plan as quickly as possible. Speaking rights, initially we've had reservations in regards to speaking rights because the fear of them being abused and people using them for grandstanding and indeed putting pressure on the planning committee as well. But if they're proper you know, ground rules, criteria, limited speaking time, they may offer a way forward in the absence of the briefing panel. So I would be happy enough with it if we build in that we review it after, say, 6 months to see how it is performing. If it's not being abused, it could be a good mechanism in regards for transparency for the public and people to get their point of view across. Just in regards to the priority applications, I think small housing developments from about 10 to about 12 should be treated as a priority in our council area. And if you look at the many of the jobs are supported from small, you know, for small builders in our locality, you know, you have all the joiners, plumbers, but it also goes into retail, it goes into garages, you know, so they're very, very important. And they haven't got big cash flows to be able to sit for waiting for their application to come through. And they have to lay people off, you know. So I think we should seriously consider making them a priority moving forward. But overall, a good planning system, it's the heart of our district. You know, it's the heart of our economy. You know, so it's important we get this right. So I'd just like to thank you for your report.
Okay, thanks, Willie. Again, councillors, we know what the problems were and we know what we want to do about it and where we want to go with it. So could I ask councillors to be actually in relation to what we are planning to do to improve the planners? Willie's idea of brief and mine are two different things, but Councillor Craig, you're next.
Thank you, Chair, if this is working or not. I don't think it is working, Chair.
Okay.
I'll try this one. No, I'll just try and shut up.
Could everybody turn theirs off so it allows Gareth to use the one beside him there?
Oh, go off. Well, yeah, it's just a problem with the mic. It's not that anyone else is.
Do you want to try beside you, Gareth?
Want mine? Mine's just working. Mine's just working.
Right. If you turn yours off, the Alan might work. Go ahead, Gareth.
Chair, thank you very much. Yeah. No, I mean, there's no point in me going over again old ground about the unenviable position that we find ourselves in with regards to backlog and turnaround times. But, Chair, I welcome the report and I feel that Jim certainly has got to the nub of it and with some very sound recommendations here for our consideration and certainly the use of consultants, although we may not normally like to use them. I think there's no other option but to get rid of use consultants, especially to get rid of the more difficult cases such are before us. But I do think that once we do, and I know we already have started to make some inroads into the backlog, that we should start to publicise the good news stories. And as we continue and let the press know the inroads we're making, and I think that would be good because we've had too much bad press, so I think soon we'll be able to start having some good news stories. Certainly welcome the whole process being simplified and more effective use of our resources, I think, as well as additional resources, of course. And I do feel that professional staff should be doing professional duties and not admin duties. And I do believe that the recommendations about the improvements of the consultation process as well, and generally the culture change and the fact that when we are dealing with applications which have an economic or a tourist benefit, that there's a better collaboration and the whole process to make sure that those applications go through the system effectively. I suppose I'm maybe coming on to the more controversial items, Chair, and that's regarding the workings of the Planning Committee. And I would actually go along with the recommendation that the briefing panel is of no great substance or benefit. It's only another layer which is proved to be ineffective. I see it just like a mini planning committee in essence, and it doesn't add anything to the system. I would welcome the dissolution of it. With regards to speaking rights, I might have to differ with you on this, Chair. I feel that when we have 10 other councils in favour of it, and I, for one, recognise the fact that it probably won't make any difference to the outcome, but I do feel that in the benefits of fairness and transparency, it would be useful to give speaking rights, but to have them severely limited to 5 minutes, say, per applicant, and how they want to divide that up as their call, basically. So, Chair, overall, I welcome the report. And I think it's an excellent piece of work and certainly commend not only our Chief Executive or officers for and for Jim as well.
Thanks, Gareth. Henry. Thanks, O'Reilly.
Yeah. Thanks, Chairman. Chairman, firstly, can I thank Jim McKibben. I've been on this task force, and I have to say, in all the years of public service, both in the Department of Agriculture and here in the Council, I've never met a more effective communicator and somebody who can get to the nub of the problem and put forward proposals and recommendations. That's exactly what we needed. And, Chairman, I think all we can do here tonight is support the full implementation of this report, and I would respectfully propose the report in full, and hopefully somebody will come on a second soon, because we need to get this going. The Chief Executive, he has the full back of this Council. And the one thing, probably, Liam, where every single Council has supported you in getting this issue resolved, and I think you really have to get stuck in now, as Gareth says, be it consultants, be it whatever, get the work done and get it out. The adverse publicity that we've been getting from this has been really so destroying for councillors and staff, and I think that now that we have this report, now we can really get ahead and get this issue and get the planning, the planners on a proper footing so as they can behave like normal planners and any other councillors in the UK. So I think it's been a great move getting Jim in. Let's get going. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Henry. I'll just say to Jim, be afraid, be very afraid when Henry's praising you.
And you can tell Henry I'm still not going to say anything nice about Rangers.
Okay.
Chair, thank you very much. And I would second Councillor Reilly's proposal that we move forward with these recommendations. I think Jim has to be commended. I think it's maybe the jolt that everybody needed within this whole council. You know, fingers were being pointed everywhere. Blame was being laid everywhere, from councillors right down through to staff. And I think it was the jolt that we needed. I think we will see it moving forward now more smoothly after these recommendations hopefully are approved. And there was two areas that I was concerned with, and Councillor Clark had hit on them. One was the agents. It's good to see we're going to hopefully be dealing with agents in a way that will help. And secondly, the consultees, because quite frankly, consultees left a lot to be desired. Whenever council or planners were writing out to consultees, it was lying in somebody's in tray for 3-4 months. Two applications that I inquired about last week, the only reason given was that roads hadn't come back. Now, that is 4 or 5 months ago. That's not good enough. That's not good enough. There should be time frames such as 21 days, 28 days to get your report back. If you don't, you move on without them. So you do. And you say they mustn't be concerned. So I would like to welcome the fact that's within it as well. So it is. Consultees and agents.
Thank you, Billy. Next, Mark.
Thanks, Chair. I'll just go straight into the bits that I don't like, as opposed to going over all the bits that are okay. The briefing panel. I was one of the biggest critics of the briefing panel, and now that we've got it working correctly, we're planning to do away with it. I think that with all refusals coming to the committee, that we need some screening mechanism to reduce the load that's coming to the actual planning committee, where I just don't see us being able to get through the volume of applications that are going to be seen by the committee. So I think on that end, that I would have to make a counter-proposal that we accept the recommendations with the exception of the briefing panel.
Could maybe at this stage, could I say that, could we wait till all councillors maybe make a comment and then we'll take
it's only the proposals later
maybe
proposal,
at the end of it, if that's okay with you, Mark?
Yeah. Well, that's if that's...
Yep.
That's fine. That's everything else I'm happy enough with. So.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Terry.
Yeah, thanks very much, Chair. And I will be brief. And just more or less, I'd just like to welcome this tonight's presentation. I believe that it's a blueprint. I should have brought my glasses here, and it's a roadmap for the future. And I'd like to thank all concerned, you know, for all the hard work and getting here this evening. and more or less it sends out a clear message to the public and to all who are concerned that we mean business from now on. So well done, everybody.
Thank you, Terry.
Don't Terry here.
Terry, the other Terry. Twin.
Me twin. Yeah. Look at Jim. Yeah, it's great. It's great just to hear someone talking about common sense. Just pure common sense, and is the way you talk, and it I believe it. We certainly moving with this document. The only thing, Jim, a wee bit concerned around the consultants, the cases that go to consultants. How would you ever, you just can't give them to consultants, and how do you put a limit on what they could charge you? We don't want to leave ourselves open to serious fees. And how do you differ the applications and what you would pay a consultant now? And I would be totally in the consultants only. I'm told you have it in there, Jim. It's just a temporary until we get dealt with these cases, and that's the only way I would think we could accept it. On those grounds, but. Just that we have some control in it, that it's not that they don't see this as a great chance to rip council off, and that there's some safety mechanism. I'm sure you have something in that. We'd like to hear that. Thanks.
I suppose on the consultancy thing is something that we'd have to tender out for. We just couldn't appoint consultants, and we'd have to build in safeguards, because the last thing you want is consultants that work within this jurisdiction judging on other applications of other consultants that they maybe have worked for. So we need to look at how we do that. The other thing is what Jim has suggested is three aspects where you use consultants, for planning appeals. Well, that might be easier, because for a lot of the planning appeals are actually cases which aren't the council's. Indeed, we'd have planning officers who are currently working on appeals of which they had no involvement in making that case, because we've inherited the planning appeals and some of our staff didn't work in this area, so that would do. The other one is in the area of planning, looking at policy areas to try and develop. And again, that's somewhere where you can use specialist advice in the area of planning. So I think it's maybe a stepped-up approach, Councillor Hardy, where you'd actually sort of say, well, there's less risk on the planning policy, there's getting a bit more risk in the planning appeals, but we need to build in safeguards for that. Then when you're dealing with individual applications, we maybe need to look at, say, a planning consultancy that actually don't work in Northern Ireland, that actually, and actually say to them, because we need to bring that level of objectivity to it. But I think that's something that we need to, what we're sort of saying is agree the principle for it, and we'll go away and work something up and bring it back to you. But it will be done on a tendering basis so that we can't be ripped off in that perspective. Okay.
Councillor McKee.
Chairman, I'm very grateful for the Chief Executive of this Council and the staff to realise there was an issue here, and they didn't wait the full year to do the review. And Jim, you have done excellent work, and I know as a party we would agree that those recommendations need to be carried through. As a member of the briefing panel, and every month since meetings from then, from the beginning to now, I felt as though it wasn't working. I felt as though the briefing panel had become a mini planning meeting. And a lot of waste time even for council staff, for the planning staff that were sitting in those meetings. So I would very much agree, and so would my colleagues, that would be dissolved immediately. I'm not going to dwell on anything more. I'm only saying that we would love to see this going forward, recommendations carried through as swiftly as possible, because being on the planning committee, people were condemning me even for what I was doing, for what I was not doing. But it was just a case of passing the buck. Everybody was to blame. But now I think with this new measure in place, hopefully it will be in place from tonight, I know there will be a few nitty-gritty things to tidy up along the way, but should this review need to be held in another year's time or sooner if we need it, so be it, as long as we are seen to be doing the work on the ground for our constituents. Thank you.
Thank you, Harold. Cadogan, Mr. Enright.
Thanks, Mr. Chairperson. I welcome this report, and clearly in my view, it's the first time the council has behaved as a private sector organisation of a similar size would behave in dealing with an issue. And it's a great relief to see the situation being turned around with the speed that it has. It does raise for me, though, a much more fundamental issue. And I think we need some sort of a policy or some sort of a process where a councillor or councillors see a problem coming down the line and they're able to say a year or 18 months ahead that we're going to run into a serious budgetary issue like this, having to take on additional staff. And I recall speaking at council meetings pointing out that if we went... This is very relevant, okay? I can think of four separate cases whereby council, by not taking action in time to register an issue that a councillor has said is going to cost them hundreds of thousands of pounds if they don't take timely action on an annual basis.
Is this in relation to planning, Cadogan?
This is about planning.
This report
clearly highlights how we could have, if we'd wanted to, examined the figures. We could have seen that we had not enough staff, that we had to take more staff on to deal with the backlog, and that clearly we were merging on an incorrect basis. Now, a few of us did say that. If we'd been listened to, we could have negotiated prior to the merger to ensure we weren't left with too few staff to handle the level of planning that we have. Now, I can think of three other issues like that where hundreds of thousands of pounds per annum are involved, where councillors have said well in advance that we are going to be landed with a problem unless some administrative action is taken to deal with this sort of situation. I'm not going to name them tonight. I suspect the chief executive may be aware of one or two of them. But if we know that we can avoid costs running to hundreds of thousands of pounds per annum by putting in a new policy where a councillor flags up such an issue and action can be taken in good time, then we need to learn from this particular report that some sort of policy like that needs to be in place and councillors, where they can highlight the avoidance of between 100 and 300 thousand pounds of annual costs by simply getting management to register a problem as being a problem, that policy needs to be put into place.
Declan?
Yes, thank you, Chair. And again, thank you, Jim, for coming up with certainly the right robust report. You obviously weren't tainted by many years of government. A bit of a rebel in you, thanks be to God. Certainly, I welcome quite a lot of it, but I think, you know, first of all, can I just say that this, contrary to what some people are trying to say, this did come from certainly the members who were trying to serve the public, and it came from the agents and came from the applicants who have been constantly in contact with us as councillors, you know, to find out why the system has collapsed. So, you know, it did come from the body politic. Could I talk about the local development plan? You highlighted that while awaiting the publication, we have to create specific and dedicated policy updates. I mean, I think we have a long way to go on a lot of this. I do think we will have difficulties in doing this. I think we're through to say we're on uncharted waters nearly in terms of this happening. I do think it has to be done, but I do think that we will face certainly controversial, I suppose, situations in the interim. When we're doing this, we're going to have to take decisions maybe outside the box. So I think everybody needs to be quite aware of that. We've been concerned as well. I do think that, again, the publicity and PR surrounding it, all of this, and we're changing the mechanism here again, that a lot of the public have just begun to get used to dealing with and how it all works. Now we're about to change it again. A lot of people out there, applicants and agents, haven't a clue, really, on how our whole system works. I do think, again, we have to indulge with them and trying to get the message out clearly on what our new approach will be and how it will actually work in practical terms. Now, the one sentence in here is that there's going to be a non-chronological order applied to applications. I can see if somebody lifts the paper tomorrow morning and saying, does that mean my application that's been in for nearly 2 years now doesn't get any precedence? I mean, we have to spell this out on how and why, you know, a particular item like that appears here and why that has been left, because, you know, we always had the the pre-notion that certainly if something in a long time you deserve it, you paid basically the same money as everybody else. We've got to address those things. I do welcome the aspiration to lead a cultural change within the planning staff, and I do think that ultimately, hopefully, will bear out certainly the fruits of it all when we get all our policies together. Continuing on, there's the proposition here to facilitate scheduled meetings. I do think that, you know, that will have to be done with due balance as well, because again, if agents if they don't cooperate fully, you could clog the system quite a hell of a lot with continuous meetings. So we're going to have to take all those things into consideration, that, you know, that we're not given, certainly while we're opening up and democratically, we would need to be very careful as well that we're not signing another death warrant to it all. So again, in general terms, certainly a lot of it welcome. Certainly reservations at the briefing panel. I think I did say at an earlier meeting that I felt that the briefing panel got off to a good start, then faltered, and then got back on course again. Because if you look at the figures, it did sort of weed a lot of applications out that didn't have to go to the full planning committee. But it's just getting the balance there as well with that. So, again, like my colleague Mark, I wasn't entirely convinced that there isn't a role for a briefing panel of sorts. Okay, thank you.
Councillor Carr.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman, and thank you, Jim, for a very comprehensive report and presentation. Apologies that I missed some of the briefing sessions, some or all, due to other commitments. I welcome the report too, and I'm broadly in agreement with it. I think that you are looking in the right areas. I think the EPIC is causing major problems. It's causing major problems to me as a councillor that can't look up something and tell somebody, answer a question across the table in 2 minutes. When it's not available, we're going through the planners and we're tying them up further, and it is a major. Now, I went to consultations about EPIC way back in 2002, 2003, I think, and we must have spent tens of millions of pounds on it. Nonetheless, tens of millions of pounds, and it doesn't work. So when we talk about replacing it, I'd be very careful about you know, what are we replacing it with and what is it going to cost this council. The speaking rights and the area plan, I think, are key areas too that you've highlighted, along with both consultees and consultants. The whole consultant thing, I think we need to walk very carefully in giving away some of the responsibility that this council has taken on as our duty. I think, and I'm conscious the chairman wants to move on, but the presentation showed, for example, that the average times here in Uray Moore and Down are under 35 weeks. Constituents are shouting loudly at me that it's taken over a year, and that the average is a year. So I do think that it might be a wee bit premature just to simply propose we accept everything and move on to something else tomorrow. I would have liked to seen the presentation circulated and groups being given the opportunity to sit down and take a look at exactly what it means. Even though you're in broad favour of it, how's it going to be done? Is there going to be speaking rights? How long will people have? How's that going to work? And so on. So I think really it might just be a bit premature to say yes, we'll accept everything here tonight. But I do think that it could be done fairly quickly. But people need to be given the opportunity to see what the implications are. Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Jim.
Just on that, Councillor Carr, I think there are certain aspects of the report that we can implement straight away, and other issues like speaking rights, while we agree them tonight, will have to be worked up on how we do that. It's not a case of holding anything. But Michael, to be fair, there's been a number of briefings, consultations, and I think all councillors are... I didn't have to come here tonight to know what was going to be on that sheet, I have to say. And I think most councillors are the same.
I think it's only been produced to see
No, but the point I'm trying to get across is not that we as a council are just going to rubber stamp something that we've no knowledge of. That wouldn't be the case. We do, and we have had. Okay. Patrick.
Thank you, Chair. And again, like other councillors, I want to place on record, first of all, my thanks to Liam Hannaway, the Chief Executive, Canis O'Rourke, and to Anthony McKay for sitting down and clearly acknowledging that we had issues within the planning process here since Council took over. And anything that I want to say is constructive criticism. In terms of Jim McKimmon's report, well, again, I totally welcome it. Jim, I read your CV and your work record, and it speaks for itself. And what I've read here tonight, you know, you're clearly the professional. I certainly, everything that I have read, a lot of it there just makes complete sense. And certainly I would like the council tonight in general to welcome this report in its entirety and to give our chief executive the remit to hit the ground running as soon as possible. I mean, obviously, yes, there may be certain things that need tweaked. We all accept that. But if you take the whole thing in the round, what you've presented to us here tonight gives us a lot of solutions. I mean, for example, just briefly, I mean, under tracking the backlog, where you've said to enable urgent sustained effort to be focused on the backlog work, on the area plan to be temporarily suspended and for resources to be diverted straight away on the backlog, like, that's common sense. I also welcome the fact that all cases to be allocated to a case officer within 24 hours of validation. I think that there also is critical. The signing off of planning decisions, yes, I think that also is a welcome factor. I think that will speed up things and allow decisions to be signed off basically to other officers as opposed to just one officer. And without going on any further, the only other minor thing that I just want to say is under the culture change is that where you've mentioned the planners to understand their role as facilitators and enablers of development and to be conscious of the impact of delay on economic development. I think that's a very, very important point, and I actually am glad that that's within the actual recommendation. But overall, I think it will put confidence back into the planning service. I think, if anything else, it is a good news story tonight that we have recognised the issues within planning and that we want to move forward in a progressive way and put confidence back into the planning so that the applicants, the architects and the agents can clearly see that we are addressing the major issues.
Thank you, Paddy. Okay, at this stage, I think everybody has... Roisin.
Yeah. Well, like everybody else, you are all fantastic. Okay, we'll quit that. First of all, I think, as Terry said, this is a lot of common sense, which we all needed. Now we need to go away and implement it. I think the early refusal, where there's absolutely no chance of an application going through, is... You know, even though it might be initially painful, I think it's a way of managing the applicant's expectations and ultimately will save them a hell of a lot of money because planning applications cost a lot of money. I think the time scale for the consultees is absolutely vital. That's what they need to stick to. If they don't stick to it, move on without them. Simple as that. And the signing, I know certainly we're getting a lot of grief at the minute where people have been told their applications have been successful and weeks later they still haven't been signed off. So I think that's fantastic. The other thing just, you know, on the tail end, but I know at the minute we would be getting a lot of people contacting us where there have been disabled adaptations have to be made to homes because of elderly people. We're an ageing population and, you know, for people's own personal physical circumstances. And I think, you know, we do need to be setting up some sort of a mechanism where cases like that can be prioritised because there's no doubt planning and planning decisions really affect people's lives, you know, personal lives and the economy. So all in all, I think it's a fantastic report based on common sense, which we now need to implement. So.
Okay, thanks, Roisin. Okay, councillors, at this stage, I think I'm going to take Liam and sort of try to sum up.
Chairman, again, I'm conscious that there is one amendment, but if I take you through just the key aspects of the report, in terms of, para two onto it, again, tackling the backlog. So what we're going to do is suspend the area plan team for a period roughly about 6 weeks. To actually concentrate on development plan issues. Then we're going to look at the appointment of a third-party resource to give us assistance, and I think I've dealt with that issue in response to Councillor Hardy.
and that we're actually sort of saying is if we need additional committee meetings, we're actually arranged additional committee meetings to pick up, just to move stuff on quite quickly. So again, we don't want to be delaying stuff. And again, is that we're going to deal with applications in non-chronological order. So if we can get them out the door fast, we get them out the door fast and we plough through it. So we actually use the specialist head team to deal with the fast applications and we move through the other applications on a phase basis. Then just in terms of delegation of decisions, again, to pick up the last point is that SPTOs, PPTOs, if I can think that right, I don't know, Pat Rooney, in terms, and Anthony would all be able to sign off all decisions in terms of the case they're working on. Then moving on to the planning committee, then really in terms of the scheme of delegation, again, delegate decisions to be issued monthly, 2 weeks in advance of the committee meeting. All refusals to go to the committee. So basically everything goes through the committee. Approvals with 6 or more objections will go to the committee on the committee agenda, which was we agreed the last time. Briefing panel to be abandoned. I know Councillor Murnin has raised that as an issue, and that's maybe something you want to pick up on. Speaking rights for applicants and agents to be allowed. Again, back to response that Councillor Rowan made to a thing is we're going to have to take... We probably won't be able to introduce that immediately. We'll need to draw together a paper on speaking rights to include that in standing orders. So probably look at try to get a paper together to get it into the March Planning Committee to actually get to Council maybe in April with the idea of implementing and then to advise, because then we need to write out to agents setting the terms and conditions. So we're sort of looking really for about May, June Planning Committee for introducing the speaking rights. So it won't be something to be done immediately. Similarly, if we do about in the briefing panel, it's something we need to look at actually a phased in approach. So, if we decide, I know Councillor Murnin has made a proposal that we don't take that out of it, but if we decide to bring it in, then we need to sort of plan that in terms over the next month or 2 months to actually enable that to happen. And then the issue of, so we're going to move is the issue of weekly lists will provide an opportunity for councillors to highlight applications they wish to call in. So basically, all decisions will be, all approvals where there's no objections or less than 6 objections will be issued immediately and you'll be advised of all them decisions been issued, but they can't be called in. All refusals go to the committee or approvals where there are 6 or more objections. We're going to try and look at sourcing a programme for capacity building with councillors, and again we'll take that through the councillors training group to actually get that agreed, and again to start to look at a timescale for the local area plan team. And then really in terms of ICT, the EPIC system, again Canis is sitting on the working group along with Anthony on the EPIC system. We need to sort of look at how we can actually bring forward a new system, whether that's with Belfast, on our own, or in conjunction with a number of other councils. The problem is that you don't want agents dealing with 4 or 5 different computer systems, so there needs to be some sort of conversation across councils on that, but we'll pick that up. Other things like scanners, photocopiers, cameras, phones, we'll expend that there. I think on the resource implications, that shouldn't exceed £10,000. So, Chairman, that's the recommendations. I know you have an amendment from Councillor Burnham. So.
Sorry, Henry, I'll chair the meeting. Mark, have you an amendment?
Thanks, Chair. I think it's important that the members of the Planning Committee really listen to what we're going to accept here. If we look at the last 2 weeks' lists of intended decisions, there's 26 refusals on them. So that's 26 applications that are going to be presented to the Planning Committee on top of those that are already going, and that's only 2 weeks, so it could be 46 by the time the end of the month comes.
And you're wanting us to thank you for that?
I want you to take that away. I think the briefing panel, like, there'd be ones there that in our previous meeting that Anthony has said, like, it'll just be a matter of, they still have to be presented. It's still going to take 5-10 minutes to go through the presentation. You know, I don't see the need for that. We're only going to end up slowing the system down again by bogging the Planning Committee down with items that don't really need to come before it.
Okay, so your amendment is that we keep the briefing panel?
Keep the briefing panel. Like, okay. You know, in 6 months' time, we find that refusals aren't coming through in as big a numbers, we could relook at it again. But I think at this time, we need to keep it.
Okay, have we a seconder for that? Sorry, seconded by Laura. Okay. Well, just a straight for and against then. So those for the amendment. Okay, we counted. What have you counted?
11.
Okay. Those against the amendment. And any abstentions? No. That there then is.
Sorry, it's one.
Sorry, one abstention. Okay, that there is lost then, Mark. So then we need a proposer for the report in front of us. Glenn, you're proposing, and Terry seconded. Terry Hardy. Okay. Everybody in agreement then with the report? Yeah. Okay, councillors, can I again just. Sorry, Michael.
Sorry.
I'm sure that can be got. Yeah,
we can put the copy of the presentation up for all members on MinutePad.
Okay, thanks. Hold on a minute. We're not just finished it. Could I just say that we've talked a lot here about planning and that there, and a lot of it's maybe directed towards our planning staff. And could we just again to acknowledge the fact that it was a poison chalice for them as well, and the lack of staff and we had within that department has caused a lot of the problems that we've had. And secondly, could I also, on behalf of everyone, thank Jim for his work done. I know he said to me there he's thankful for the comments from members in relation to that job. So, well, thank you. Thank you. Okay, thank you, councillors.
Okay.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
Very well.
Cheers. Thanks very much.
No, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
No, that's good. That's good. Thank you. I like the way you take your names.
You're an
off gamer. He's a complete star. Yeah, listen, I'm independent. But he goes on with that all the time. There's no relevance whatsoever to what we're dealing with.
He was talking about integrating IT systems the last bit.
Yeah. Do you know basically what he's saying? Is when I listened to him 9 months ago, even though we were only 2 months into a new
thing. No, I thought you were going to say.
I can see why he's an independent.
Yeah. I'm still looking for a party. I won't want him.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You get a